Despite the change of music, you are listening to Wyoming Catholic College's weekly podcast, The After Dinner Scholar, and I'm your host, Dr. Jim Tonkowicz. The reason for the different music, just for this week, is our topic, Byzantine liturgical chant. In the past, we've interviewed our college's Byzantine chaplain, Father David Anderson, so you know our students are able to attend Byzantine Divine Liturgy regularly. What you may not know is while in the Western liturgical tradition, Mass can be celebrated without singing, in the Eastern rites, singing is mandatory. So assisting Father David, musically, has been Professor Christopher Hodkinson, instructor of music and fine arts, who is also our director of music. What was your experience with Byzantine music prior to Father David's arrival here at Wyoming Catholic College?
Well, I'm a Catholic of a Latin rite, and my specialism is in Gregorian chant, so it really wasn't my everyday experience. I had in fact been really blessed as a child to spend many months in Greece and to hear the worship of the Orthodox Church there. A particularly memorable experience for me was when I was about 15 years old, hearing the monks of the monastery of St. George in Methenios sing the Easter services, and I was really overpowered by the incredible beauty of that experience. So I've long had a profound appreciation and love of music of the Christian East, but it's not something that I'd had the opportunity to get to know at that practical level, to learn a liturgical repertoire. There's in fact only one way to do it. You've got to sing the services day in, day out, and make the habit of it absolutely ingrained in your soul. And before this year, I'd never had the opportunity to do that. So it's been a journey of discovery for me.
Now, our students do quite a bit of chanting in our school masses, and most of our listeners are probably familiar with Latin chant as well. Tell us a bit about the difference between Gregorian chant and the way the Byzantines chant.
Well, there's a lot to clarify here, because we're not, in fact, here talking only about Byzantine chant. Byzantine chant, properly speaking, is the music of the Greek-speaking church. It's the chant, therefore, which is, like Gregorian chant, monophonic, sometimes accompanied by a drone or ison. But it's really the chant that's proper to those Orthodox churches that sing the liturgy in Greek. But Father David's liturgical tradition is a little different from that. He is a member, in fact, of the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church. And so his tradition comes not directly from Greece, but by way of the Slavic countries. So to understand this history, we've actually got to look back about 1,000 years to the time of St. Cyril and Methodius, who, when they were evangelizing the Slavic-speaking peoples, they took the decision not to do what Latin Rite missionaries in recent centuries have done, which is to bring the liturgy unchanged to those different countries. Instead, they chose to translate the liturgy from Greek into Church Slavonic, still what is for us recognisably a sacred liturgical language, but one which was more adapted to the regions that they were evangelising. Of course, with the translation of the whole of the Orthodox liturgy into Slavonic, there came an immense musical challenge because the whole of the music had to be adapted to that new language. And the result of that was a repertoire that we called Znamenny chant. And that is a lot like the Byzantine chant, a little bit simplified perhaps, but above all with its melodies changed to fit the Slavonic text. And then it didn't stop there, if only it was so simple. In fact, then, over many centuries of development, the Znamenny tradition changed, and it changed differently in different regions of the Slavic-speaking world. The regions that we're most interested in right now, because of the choices we've made about the repertoires to focus on in the college, are the northern regions, especially the Russian traditions, and especially the chant tradition, which we call Kievan chant. These traditions developed in similar lines. They tended to simplify the Znamenic melodies, which were often long and complex, and they tended to also adapt them so that they became more tuneful in the sense that you or I would recognise that they fit in more with the general musical styles in circulation. And over time, we see this so often in the history of the liturgy, the same development happened in the Slavic-speaking countries that happened in Western Europe during the Middle Ages, which is that there was a move from purely monophonic chant to harmonised chant. And so, whereas at first the Znamenic melodies were sung as single melodic lines, over time other parts were added, and there became a tradition of singing in several parts, often as many as four parts. And so it's that tradition that really we have carried on at the college. It's wonderfully well adapted to our choir, which is used to singing in four parts, for us to sing the melodies in that manner.
I assume the notation is different. The musical notation is different. Are the scales different? Getting a little into the weeds, are there different rules of harmony?
Right. Well, yes and no. This is a very hard question to answer. When you listen to the Byzantine chant sung now, you'll recognise that it's very different from the way in which we sing in the West. And the most recognisable difference is the many microtones that are used, that's to say the intervals, which are smaller than the semitone, which are commonly used by expert singers. And also the fact that the scales are a little bit different. They have the tones and semitones and even the augmented tones in different places in the scales, which sound a little bit strange and Eastern to our ears. In the Slavic-speaking countries, the performing tradition actually is more like ours, that the scales used are a lot more like the modal system used in the West, without those difficult microtones. And similarly, the manner of vocal production tends to involve less ornamentation. It tends to be more direct. Just why that is a very hard question to answer, but part of the answer, I think, is that there has been a greater influence in the Slavic countries of Western European musical styles. And that really goes back for several centuries, but it reached its height perhaps in the 18th century when Western European music became very popular, especially at the Russian court. There were famous composers from Italy who were brought by the Tsars to provide music, both secular and sacred, in Russia. So there was a general trend towards adopting the Western theoretical manner of singing and of harmonising. So there's recognisable Baroque music from Russia, for instance, that is modelled upon Italian Baroque music. With that influence, there came, of course, development of notation. So whereas at first the chant melodies, when they were written down in particular local traditions of what we call pneumatic notation, as was used in the West for that matter, what looks to us like a series of dots and squiggles on the page, but which in fact signifies certain motions of the melody. Over time, that manner of notation was abandoned, and the Western manner was picked up, where you write the music on lines indicating high notes and low notes. And so in fact now, almost all the music we sing from a five-line stave with modern notation. So it's therefore very approachable for us. One thing I should also say is that in recent centuries, that Western influence has really carried on. So whereas the first harmonisation of this music was done in a kind of improvised manner, you have a melody, you maybe add another melody, a third higher or a third lower, you add a bass line that provides some harmonic support to it, and then you add maybe a fourth part that fills in the remaining notes so we can get recognisable three notes chords most of the time. We've moved from that to a position where, in fact, many great composers have created art music out of this tradition. And so when you think of the great names, especially of 19th century Russian music, people like Glinka or Tchaikovsky or Rimsky-Korsakov, and going into the 20th century with people like Rachmaninoff, all these great Russian composers have written settings of the Byzantine liturgy which bring all the resources of Western art music to bear upon the challenge of writing for the liturgy. So we have, therefore, alongside the ordinary everyday repertoire, as it were, that could be sung by any church choir at all, also a highly elevated repertoire that can easily stand beside the great works of Western sacred music, and in many ways has an analogous function.
Our students have really plugged into the Byzantine liturgy. Tell us about how the students have responded to it and about their singing.
Well, I mean, my experience, first of all, of course, has been with the choir. And for the choir, it's been a huge challenge. I can't generalise at all about the students because they're all very different and they come from different backgrounds. Some of them, of course, are Byzantine Rite themselves. And so it's been a wonderful occasion for them to be able to sing the Byzantine liturgy much more regularly than had been possible before. Others, of course, are from the Latin Rite, and this is all very new to them and presents a tremendous challenge and makes them confront perhaps some of their preconceptions about what Christian worship is when they see its true diversity. Certainly, though, for the choir, it's been a huge amount of work for us because the whole of the Byzantine liturgy is sung. There's no low mass, there's no option to speak some parts of it. We have to sing from beginning to end. And also, because the tradition is that the liturgy is sung in harmonised parts, then in fact the choir is singing from beginning to end with no breaks, whereas when we sing the Latin Rite, we normally have a scholar sing the most difficult Latin chants, just a small group of singers, and the whole choir sings for a relatively small proportion of the time, singing the easy Gregorian chants and singing a motet or two that we've prepared. And so this is therefore quite different. We've got a lot more music to sing. Much of it, however, is a little bit easier, more approachable. It's therefore extremely good music for learning basic musical skills, for developing your ability to sight read. And so it's been therefore both a huge challenge, but one which, as students have risen to it, has been tremendously enriching. And I think I should add perhaps one more thing that I've seen attracting many students, which is that there's a real palpable sense of what I call liturgical integrity in the way we celebrate the Byzantine Rite here, which is something, of course, that is possible in the Latin Rite, but I think for various historical reasons we less often experience it in a really profound sense. That's the sense that all the music we offer is an integral part of the liturgical experience. I don't spend my time choosing music, thinking, well, we've got a 5-minute space here, we can sing something, what shall I choose? Instead, it's a matter of choosing music that is proper to the liturgy for that time and learning that. So our effort is directed entirely towards the essence of the liturgy. And more than that, I think the way in which we experience the liturgy is also profoundly spiritually beneficial because it's well integrated into the rest of our practices in terms of the spirituality of our prayer life, in terms of the discipline of fasting. All these things are very well integrated in actual practice in the Byzantine Rite. So therefore, I think it's been a tremendous revelation to many students who are aware that these same things, true, are present in the Western tradition, but perhaps are not practiced with such integrity. So in such an ordinary manner, such an everyday way in which this spirituality is integrated. So I think it's been a tremendous benefit to us, and one which I hope we can continue to experience and which can continue to inform our spiritual lives for a long time to come.
When God saw that many men were lazy and gave themselves only with difficulty to spiritual reading, wrote St. John Chrysostom, He wished to make it easy for them, and added the melody to the words, that all being rejoiced by the charm of the music should sing hymns to him with gladness. What a blessing it is to praise God with song. This being June, we're approaching the end of Wyoming Catholic College's fiscal year, and as you can imagine, we want to finish strong. We can only do that with the help of friends. Will you consider making a financial gift to the college today to fund not just the after-dinner scholar, but our growing distance learning program and, of course, our unique undergraduate liberal arts education? Thank you in advance for your generosity. For Wyoming Catholic College, this is Dr. Jim Tonkowicz.